The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Despite today being the busiest day, not only this year, but in the airport's history, Kenny Jacobs is here rather than welded out in Collinstown. Kenny Jacobs, of course, Chief Executive of Dublin Airport. I am right in that. This is going to be the busiest day in the airport's history.
Good morning, Anton. Yeah, today 132,000 people will come and go at Dublin Airport. That's more than the capacity of Croke Park and the Aviva put together. It will be the busiest day ever.
How much of that then is people who are arriving into Ireland, and how much of it is people who are using Dublin as a hub for Europe?
Today, for example, I'd say there'd be about 10,000 people would be transferring in. And of the 132,000 today, there'd be more arriving back because of the time of year than going out. But it's an absolutely epic number. I mean, there was a time when Dublin Airport was very, very excited about having 100,000 passenger day. Now it's nearly every day is over 100,000 passengers. I think the main point is, look, we have a great team. They're doing a fantastic job. We take these big, big numbers in our stride. If every day of the year was 132,000, that's 48 million. I think it shows the capacity of the team, the capacity of the operational organisation, that we can process that number of passengers in a very efficient way, in a very safe and secure way, and send them on their happy holidays.
There's been a lot of discussion about total passenger capacity in the passenger cap. Well, what's the current cap? 35-ish? Is that where you're? 35 million?
The cap at the moment, the cap driven by the condition of the planning in 2007 is 32 million. This year, Dublin Airport will do 36.3 million. What do I think is the operational capacity? Probably closer to 40 million.
Now, what's the operational capacity per diem? At 132,000 as you are today, is that everything getting a bit squeaky and stretched?
It's squeaky and stretched, and it's down to a great team that can make it happen. Do I think we could do that every single day? No, I don't. But I think we could comfortably do 40 million without building. But our biggest issue is we need to start building. We want to build extra piers at both terminals so that we can have extra stands. That allows us to take the pressure off the operation. That allows us to maintain and increase the very good passenger standards that we have at the moment.
Now, you said about roughly slightly under 8% just going on the back of a cigarette packet for the numbers are people who are transferring through, and the rest of it are people who are arriving in. Does that mean that to some extent you are always a demand taker? It is how popular Ireland is and you then respond to that? Or is there anything that you can do to grow airport revenues in terms of feet through the door outside of the relative attractiveness of the nation?
We are demand takers. Airports are like hotels, and then the airlines decide do they come and go and how they fill planes. So that's the way it works in a deregulated EU market. And that kind of touches on the regional versus Dublin debate. And look, I would say to anyone, grow all the airports in Ireland. But we are demand takers, depending on what the airlines want to do, depending on the demand that they see. Now, like if you look at last year's number, 33 million, to go from 33 million to 36.3 million this year, it shows that, look, there is huge demand out there. That's demand from Ryanair and Aer Lingus, the two big base carriers, to further expand. There's also demand from new airlines that want to come into Dublin. Like, we're very, very determined to provide new strategic connectivity for Ireland, places like Mumbai, Delhi, Sao Paulo in Brazil, Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong. These are the places that we need to be connected to from a business point of view. These are the places that we need to be connected to make it easier for people to go directly
for instance,
to those locations.
You don't look across at Heathrow or Frankfurt or Amsterdam and say they are functioning as European hubs for either transatlantic, transpacific, and then people bounce around using local airlines within Europe. We want a bit more of that market.
Oh, we do. We do. Like, ultimately, what we want to do is keep Ireland connected. We will have over 36 million passengers this year. I think there's potential for absolutely 50 million in keeping Ireland connected with the right type of connectivity. That's more Ryanair. That's a lot more Aer Lingus. And that's new connectivity so that you can get to any part of the world directly from Ireland. Connecting to the US transatlantic is not just great for the Irish travelling public. A lot of Europeans use Dublin to fly to the US because you're simply doing US border protection here in Europe on European soil. So it's a big, big plus. Dublin has been the fastest growing transatlantic hub this past 5 years, and that's set to continue. So look, we have a great place in the world aviation market. Ireland is the envy of many countries because of our airports, because of the leasing industry, because of Ryanair and Aer Lingus. I think now the current government are big supporters of aviation. You can see what the UK government are doing with their airports and aviation. I think it's great if we unleash the potential of aviation in a sensible way and in a sustainable way. We're fully committed to reducing our emissions by over over 50% by 2030 and being net zero by the year 2050.
As an airport. Plan to,
as an airport, working with the airlines. Okay. So if you just take this summer, one number I'm very proud of, over half the flights this summer are on new technology aircraft, the MAX and the NEO aircraft. They're producing a third less noise and 50% less noise and 30% less emissions, which is really, really important. So you can grow, but we want to grow in a sustainable way.
Now, despite the title, the Dublin Airport Authority has more in its remit than just Dublin. The most notable, obviously, being Cork, but there is much more beyond that. You own Dublin, Cork. What else is in the portfolio?
So DAA is Dublin Airport, is Cork Airport. It's Air Rianta International, which we now call ARI, which operate duty-free in Ireland, but also retail and duty-free in 37 airports around the world, from Canada, a lot. Everyone who's been to Portugal this year has gone through a DAA-owned duty-free shop. All the duty-free in Cyprus, as I said, a lot in the Middle East and in Asia. And then we also operate airports in Saudi Arabia, three airports we operate in Saudi Arabia, and I expect we'll operate more. And we also own 20% of Dusseldorf Airport.
To what extent is that useful, revenue generative and profitable? And to what extent is that kind of activity a distraction from the core business of Dublin and Cork?
I don't think it's a distraction, because I think we're showing that we're able to do a good job running those international businesses while doing a better job than we've ever done before running Dublin and Cork Airport. The two domestic airports have never been better for passengers, never been better for airlines, and never been better for our own bottom line. So I think we're able to walk and chew gum on the domestic and international business. For me, they're very helpful because it does give you a view on the best airports and what is working well in airports. I love going out to Saudi, where they have a massive infrastructure plan to develop aviation. You know, they want to become a leader.
It's hardly comparable to Ireland, though, are they?
They're not comparable, but they're building 10 airports out there. They're expanding airports out there. They're setting up new airlines out there. You see things, and you see things from whether it be airport operations or whether it be retail. It's good to get around the world and see what do we want to pick and choose. I was in Singapore Airport recently, and I filled up a long, long list of things for the team back in DA of things that I would love to do there. We were just talking
Central
about
Central Atrium Waterfall.
Waterfall, really good use of AI. You know, Newark Airport, we were just talking about, I don't want to copy a lot from. But if you take LaGuardia Airport, which was the Newark of North America as a terrible airport, it's now one of the best airports in North America. So I think the international business we have is really, really good to make sure that we're staying on top of international best practice and making sure that that happens in our domestic business.
On that note, is it LaGuardia or is it elsewhere that you regard as the archetype in term? Because obviously in scale terms, I assume Dublin doesn't aspire to be O'Hare or Atlanta or anywhere like that. So what is the ideal that you say that's what we should aim?
It's not one airport. It's a mix. The mix that I really, really like is a good bit of Changi in terms of how they service passengers. It's a good bit of Bergamo in northern Italy in terms of that local sense of place that they have. Fiumicino's new international terminal is really, really good in Rome. A little bit of LaGuardia, a little bit of Manchester, a little bit of Gatwick airports. It's picking and choosing the best aspects. Dublin is unique as an airport, and Cork is unique as an airport. But we want to bring the best of different airports and maintain what we're doing a really, really good job at in both Dublin and Cork.
One tends to worry when you hear any business describing itself as utterly unique, because it tends to allow for excuses around performance. What is it that makes Dublin any different than any
Dublin
other airport?
Dublin is unique because it's 36 million passengers, but remember, two airlines are over 80% of that. That's what makes Dublin unique. If you take a similar airport like Gatwick, you don't have two big carriers representing such a high percentage of their traffic. So, you know,
Do you not have a Delta in Atlanta or a United in New York being prime carriers, no?
No, they're prime carriers and they're big airlines around the world, and they're very, very important in Dublin. We have over 50 airlines operating at Dublin, but two of them, Ryanair and Aer Lingus, are the vast bulk of the operation. Now, that brings some advantages because they both handle themselves, but it also brings a uniqueness because you have all those other airlines that want to grow, but there's a dominance of the two carriers. Look, it's up to them to see who grows and who competes. What we want to do is build a bigger airport so that all carriers can grow at Dublin.
Can I ask about your relationship with one of those carriers, that being Ryanair? Because first of all, before we get to how you interact with them, how did you find the cultural shift? Because you were there at a long time at some of the most senior levels within Ryanair, and regularly would have been biting the legs of the DAA, which you now run. How big a shift was that for you?
Less than people probably think, because in the end it's aviation, and whether you're in an airport or an airline, it's a lot of the same stuff applies. It's about on-time performance, it's about operational efficiency, it's about the daily grind of getting people through an airport, getting to a boarding gate, on a plane and away. So some things are different. But
did you have to call a senior management meeting at the start and say, listen, can I first of all apologise for some of the mean things I might have said over the years?
No, I didn't. I probably made a joke about it, and there would have been a few things. And the DA is well able to give as good as it gets back to the airlines. But look, I think I'm an aviation person. Coming from an airline to an airport, I think, has been an advantage, because you know what those airlines are looking for. You know the difference between the different airlines as well. So I think it's actually been an advantage coming in, because it is all about passengers. It's all about travel. It's all about operational
efficiency. And what about the culture in terms of what you are measured on? Because in Ryanair, the cost reduction and ultimate share price and growth for a large period that you were there were the significant measures. Your ultimate owner is the government again, who you would have done a lot of battle with. Was that a difficult shift for you?
We are a commercial semi-state, and we're a very commercial organisation. So, you know, last year we had 1.1 billion in revenue. We had over 400 million in profit. We are very focused on increasing revenue. We're very focused on operational efficiency and that bottom line. So we've had two record back-to-back years growing revenue and profits. Last year, we gave the government a dividend of 68 million. We're very happy to do that. We're very, very commercial, very, very efficient business, and we want to keep on that journey. So the KPIs are probably more similar than people think.
And is the pressure to achieve them the same? Because I would have thought you have a fairly hands-on board, a very hands-on CEO in both the airline and the group in Ryanair. Is the same the case? Does the government breathe down your neck for delivery?
Absolutely. The government are putting us under the right pressure. The DA board are putting management under the right pressure to deliver on what we said we would in terms of revenue, in terms of profit, in terms of efficiency, in terms of passenger experience. So comparing the two organisations, I would say the pressure is fairly comparable, and it's the right type of pressure to make sure that management are accountable and that management deliver what was described at the start of the year.
Does the previous relationship with Ryanair help in any way? Are they nicer to you because you're one of them?
No, they're meaner to me because I was one of them, but it absolutely does help in terms of doing the job.
What then about Cork? Does Cork end up being the sort of, does it play second fiddle to Dublin? Because given the scale of Dublin, given the fact that the management team is based in Dublin, is there a tendency to have them be the poor relation?
I don't think so. Look, I'm from Cork myself, and all I can say is this year Cork will be Ireland's fastest growing airport. Last year it was Ireland's fastest growing airport. If you take the month of July alone, Cork had 380,000 passengers. It grew at 14%. And next year, I think Cork will be Ireland's fastest growing airport. So DAA have announced that we're going to invest 200 million of our own money in Cork Airport. So work starts in 2 weeks in Cork Airport on a new mezzanine floor in arrivals. We're going to be building a new solar farm. We're going to be building a new car park. We're going to be building new forward gates. We're going to demolish the old terminal and build a whole new pier out there. So I think DAA is absolutely determined to grow Cork Airport. That ties in with the government strategy on developing Cork City and County. And we're very proud of the work that's done by the entire team at Cork Airport. It's a fantastic airport to fly from. I just came back from a week in France where I flew from and back to Cork. And it's a wonderful airport. I totally get when people say flying from the small regional airports is a joy.
Now, how much control do you have over that? Because again, when the passenger cap came up in respect to Dublin Airport, one of the things that most of the players said was, look, the airlines decide we want to fly into a major metropolis right in the centre of where things are, and there's not much you can do to persuade them elsewhere. So is there anything that you can do to nudge traffic towards Cork away from Dublin?
There is, and we've been doing that. And the proof is it has worked, because that's why Cork is Ireland's fastest growing airport, eclipsing the growth of Dublin.
Is it that you do better deals with the airlines?
We will incentivize the airlines and give them particular discounts if they're adding aircraft at Cork, and Shannon do exactly the same. So look, while Dublin was in that state of paralysis, while we were, you know, are we growing or are we not growing? And then finally the High Court decided that it's over to Europe. The regional airports had that opportunity to grow, and Cork, I'm very glad to say, has been the regional airport that's grown the best and the furthest, which we're very, very proud of, and that's down to a good team.
But so, only thanks to artificial constraints in Dublin, is that right?
A good airport grows regardless, and I think every airport should look after its own patch rather than saying restrict this other airport and it'll help me grow. Restricting Dublin has not helped other regional airports grow. Regional airports grow by doing a good job themselves, and that's what has grown Cork Airport. They give airlines good deals, they run a very good operation, but the demand is there. That's the simple biggest thing in a deregulated market. demand, airline demand follows where passenger demand is, and that's what determines what aircraft go where.
Text asking, what does Kenny Jacobs think about the proposed metro? Are you dependent in any way on a rail line or other any other major infrastructure in terms of your plans for Dublin?
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I'd like it to be done at the lowest possible price and that we get value for money. So I think there's numbers there from 14 to 23 billion. I'd love it to be done for closer to 14 billion. And I think we absolutely have to do it. I think as a country, we sometimes put things on the long finger. And anyone who travels around Europe, you arrive in a major capital city, there is multiple public transportation options to go downtown. And normally a metro is one of them, as well as the bus. We have a fantastic bus service to and from Dublin Airport. And I'm delighted that now over 35% of all passengers take the bus to and from the airport.
But hang on a minute, you started this by saying you're going to today put 132,000 people through that airport. If you can put 132,000 people through the airport and feed them out into taxis and into buses, why do you need a big rail line?
Because we're thinking about a 50 million passenger airport and we're thinking about those bigger numbers. And I would say do all options. Have a metro. I would also do the Clonliffe train option that was talked about, because we could do that in the next 5 years. Look, we are a major capital city. We have to be thinking of the future. We have to be thinking of the growing population, and we want a bigger airport. We also want great onward transportation to and from that airport. And I think we should do the metro, because remember, airport passengers, well, I think are only going to be 18 to 20% of the people who use the metro. So what about all those other people that are going to use it to go to university, to go to work? That's why we should do it.
Now, how much of that is hard-nosed analysis, and how much is that the thinking of an ambitious CEO who is in the empire building business?
I think that's rational analysis. We do have a version of a 60 million master plan. And in that 60 million master plan, we do see people on the bus. We do see people on taxis, but we also see people taking
the metro. But that's the intent. 60 million. Double the passenger amounts you currently have.
Ireland has to start getting comfortable with this approach of really taking a long-term view when it comes to infrastructure. Look, I think we'll get planning permission for the 40 million with Fingal by the end of the year. I think we'll get building by 2027, 2028. But as soon as we get on Commission Planola to approve the 40 million infrastructure application, I think within 12 months we'll be in with a 50 million infrastructure application. You have to take a long-term view if you want to build airports properly.
Are you enjoying the job?
I'm loving it.
By the way, the gig was good last night.
It was absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to go again tonight.
You're going to both nights of Voices?
Yeah, why not?
My God, that's some level of dedication. Did you buy any of the merch down in Stephen's Green?
I bought loads.
Kenny, thank you very much. That is Kenny Jacobs, the Chief Executive.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.